Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
We have just welcomed 2021, and you know, on the bright side, there's a lot to look forward to given how we had to handle 2020.
Yes, so true. Well, while we're striding towards the economic normalcy of 2021, at least we hope so, we shouldn't discount the financial vulnerabilities that the COVID-19 pandemic has exposed us to.
So there was this poll sort of survey, right, on 2,000 working adults in Singapore. The OCBC Financial Wellness Index saw a loss in passive income for most respondents. In fact, one third of them having issues paying off their housing loans.
Yeah, which is a bit worrying, isn't it? Mm. It also found that pressing financial worries due to concerns like lost jobs and declining income had actually put longer-term goals of retirement on the back burner.
So, you know, obviously the pandemic has highlighted the need for financial planning or saving for a rainy day.
Yeah, and in this new year, more people have realised the need that more has to be done on their part to fortify their finances and emerge more resilient from the downturn. So what can we do to fortify these finances for the future and build a phrase I'm hearing a lot lately, financial resilience?
Which a lot of people put that as a New Year's resolution, huh? Mm. Let's find out more from Luke Lim, Managing Director of Philip Securities, Brokerage and Wealth Management Arm of Philip Capital. Luke, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
Thanks so much for speaking with us today. So let's talk about all this. You know, I mean, COVID-19, we know for a fact it's kind of turned our lives upside down. Everyone's affected in one way or another. What are some of the financial vulnerabilities that COVID-19 has exposed us to? Earlier, there was this something worrying. People, one third of respondents for that survey, unable to pay off their home loans. I feel scared just looking at that stat.
Exactly, and I think there are different degrees of vulnerabilities that we observe. Some clients were really, really struggling, and clients who are really struggling, I strongly recommend them to see a credit counselor. They are stressed, talk to somebody, and the credit counselor will run you through a credit plan. Mm. And once you have a plan, you put yourself at ease. And unfortunately, a plan does take time. It takes time to enforce. So it does take time, but at least there is a plan in place.
Yeah, Luke, that's really interesting what you just said. A credit counsellor. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who didn't even realise that credit counsellors were available in the first place. And I know that you've worked with various retail investors and business clients over the last year in areas like financial planning, wealth management. How's that changed?
Yeah, so I think what we saw during the pandemic, again, the degrees of vulnerability is that, of course, clients with their portfolios were stressed. Of course, clients' portfolios were also, those who are in tech were not stressed, they did really well. But also in the client's cash flow, I think in our finance world, cash flow is king as we study companies. Mm. But also personal cash flow is extremely important. And what we saw is some clients had to revise their financial plan because they had reduced incomes, solidary pay cuts, reduced bonus, retrenchment. And we saw clients that were also from the aviation sector, tourism sector, a little bit more at risk. And therefore, in our financial plan, because cash flow is king, we had to revisit with them to see how they can extend, readjust a little bit of their plan so that at least they can still maintain some sort of savings and extra cash flow available. And one of the things that we have been focusing on the area of cash flow, because what you want to do is you want to have a monthly cash flow. You don't want a month where you're negative cash flow. Right, and the idea is to constantly have a regular wage extension. And our definition of wage extension is to use, after you deduct your daily expenses, you take that cash, that amount, and put it into disciplined savings. That's one approach. Another approach of what my clients like to do is that they take that amount, the leftover, after deducting the expenses, and they use it to catch the dips of the market. And they have a long-term plan. They will set aside some money, and they buy the stock that they like or they believe have a long-term future. And every time there's a dip, that's how they accumulate wealth that way.
Okay. Having a good plan, that sounds doable. Look, I'm curious to talk about, you know, because earlier on you talked about the financial vulnerabilities and you related it to sectors, right? Is there any relation with regard to age group? I mean, is it different for different age groups?
Very interesting. So last year was a very interesting year. In terms of age group, what we saw was, so it's a bit of a dichotomy. We had groups that were really excited and groups that were really depressed.
Okay.
And the age group were the young people who were really excited about the stock market. they're really excited.
Oh.
Because their stocks are doing really well. The tech stock did really well. Then, of course, there was another group of investors that, of course, STI was down about 8%. So, of course, they were a little bit depressed, right? That they didn't catch the tech wave. So we saw the two groups of people emerging.
That's quite interesting.
Yeah. So all of this, this conversation, the wider issue is how do you protect yourself in some ways? Wealth protection, wealth management, wealth accumulation. This whole ecosystem can help sort of build this stronger path towards long-term financial resilience. Is it well used in Singapore?
Number one, I think most important is to protect the safeguards in place. In terms of financial resilience, and I think the government did try and provide safeguards. I think as personal financial planners or for us, I think it's important we also help our clients develop safeguards. So generally, in terms of age groups, we will start off with is for the younger investors to have some sort of insurance plans in place, then followed by having a discipline plan in place where it's regular, and then finally construct a fuller portfolio. But many of our clients like to invest in stocks, or at least those that walk through our door. For them, their priority is always investing in stocks first. And therefore, our role is to help them pick the right stocks. So I think that's at least our role in the whole financial ecosystem. And therefore, we spend a lot of time studying companies. So even with this downturn, I think one of the things, or as we prepare for the economic recovery, some of the things that we were looking at in terms of maybe the U.S. REITs, listed on SGX, because they offer quite good value of 8% dividend yield and have not yet been priced into the post-pandemic recovery. So things like that, at least our role as stockbrokers is to help clients find these, help them study the companies so that they can achieve financial independence. The other one is managing, again, the area of cash flow. Therefore, one of the, in terms of a barbell approach or low-risk product will be our money market fund. And as their wages come in, as they build their savings pot, of 3 to 6 months, we recommend this liquid asset to be in MMF, money market fund. And money market fund invests in a pool manner in A-grade bonds. And that helps the clients achieve a very good yield and at the same time have that liquidity in place. So that's something that we're very proud of. So that we at least have clients in a barbell approach. While they trade stocks, which is can be seemingly volatile, at the same time, they also have a low-risk money market fund for their liquid capital.
Yeah, but Luke, not everybody had that profile during the pandemic. So, for example, we had guests from the food and beverage sector, for example, who came in and we interviewed them and they told us that they had used their personal funds to support other F&B businesses that had had to shutter their outfits, their presence in the community. You hear real stories like that. How do you advise businesses, for example, on things like that and how you stop that from happening again?
I think especially if they're business owners, if they're a business owner, the financial plan sometimes get commingled between what is business and what is personal wealth, right? And they must be able to draw the line somewhere. Of course, there are legal protections one can craft under, and they must have a plan, right? If my business doesn't do well, this is what's going to happen, right? But of course, we hear founders that, you know, put in everything, right? Mortgage their house, mortgage everything. So it's their own personal choice, right? But at least our job as financial planners is to highlight to them, okay, your corporate business needs so much of cash. Are you going to mortgage your house? If you do, this is what's going to happen, etc. So at least they can go in with their eyes wide open and make the choice. So that's one. And the other thing, I think as long as you have the spare cash, of course, our rule was pay down your debt first, right? Because every expense saved is better, it's money saved. So pay down your debt first. But you're never, never too early or too young to invest. My kids have started investing. And of course, Chinese New Year is coming. And I'm telling them, why don't you put your ang pao to something useful? And I try to explain to them some stuff that they understand and they can be familiar with. And since my kids can already do basic arithmetic, I can tell them what is cash flow. I can teach them what is profit and loss.
Yeah. You know, I wish I had that kind of advice. You know, take your ang pao money, go and invest it. Your rip back at money, invest it.
Smart.
I think that's really great what you're doing, Luke. And we really enjoyed that last piece of advice you just gave. But looking ahead, 2021, I mean, we don't have to look at it coming off the back of an entire doom and gloom situation. So what do you think are some opportunities that we can capitalize on to grow our wealth safely and resiliently this year?
Yeah. So I think over the long run, right, if you look at the 120-year history of the stock market, over the long run, the stock market is always going up, right? Some distress or some periods of distress could last as long as 10 to 25 years, right? Mm-hmm. So they must have a long-term outlook. So I think the one is have a long-term outlook. And then decide how much proportion of assets you want to go to equities and how many percent you want to go to bonds, and that's why we call it strategic allocation. After you've decided how much percentage between the two, then you say, okay, I want to start do regular investing. And my suggestion doing regular investing is because it's small size, right? It's bite size, so you can do $100, $200, $300 a month. So make it bite size. And then once you get familiar, you know, let's talk to your financial advisor, talk to our remisers, get a feel of the market, and then you slowly move on and develop your confidence from there.
That's great advice. We've been speaking with Luke Lim, Managing Director of Phillips Securities Brokerage and Wealth Management Arm of Phillip Capital. Luke, thank you for your time. Take care and stay safe.
Yep. Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.